It's been an emotional time, including a lot of sadness, but it's also been a time to find some joy, maybe in things that you'd never considered or thought about being joyful before. In a project for the New York Times, 14 writers shared something that's brought them joy lately, from doing a little digital cleanup on their cell phones to taking the same walk every day. Anya Strumian is a deputy editor in the style section of the New York Times. She edited that project. It's called 14 Ways We're Finding Joy in Spite of Everything. Anya, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Well, we'll get into some of the specific stories of joy, but a common theme seems to be, and it's kind of a cliche, but it seems a lot of people found joy in the little things.
Yes. When I first approached all these writers and said, you know, what, if anything, is bringing you joy right now, I expected their answers to be a bit wilder, frankly. I thought surely, you know, among the 14 of them, someone would be like screaming from the rooftop or, you know, singing lyrics aloud, running down the street because no one else is there to something. But there was nothing like that. Every answer sort of felt simple and almost subdued. So I just kind of realized that, you know, the smaller our world has become, the more pleasure we've found in the simple things.
Can you talk about why you went into this project, why you went searching for joy?
Gladly, yeah. So back as a deputy editor on the style section, part of my job is to put together these special projects. And I was last with you in January when I did a package on quitting things.
Right.
And so it's a very fun job. But back in January, as I was thinking about the year ahead, I thought, you know, what is the ultimate counter programming for New York Times readers? How could we surprise them the most? And things were already feeling kind of dark in January. You know, if you can even remember back that far, Australia was burning. There was a Senate impeachment trial underway. We were maybe going to war with Iran. You know, things felt heavy. So I thought, I know, let's do a package on fun or joy. So that was on my mind. And then as the pandemic, you know, hit in, you know, and became a pandemic in March, I thought, well, the last thing I'm feeling right now is joy, which is all the more reason I should be doing this. If I need it, I'm sure readers need it. And so that's when I started sending emails out to these writers.
And something you say in the, I think this is you saying this in the piece, that joy is joy any way you slice it. It doesn't seem like we can really predict where it might come from or, you know, set out on a path that we know is going to bring us joy. It's just, we find it somewhere sometimes.
Yes. And I mean, I've personally been finding it in very simple ways. And I'm very curious to hear from listeners how they've been finding joy. But, you know, I've barely left my apartment. And so, you know, it's not like I'm not having fun or not. And these are very, very difficult times for all of us in so many different ways. I can't actually ever remember any more difficult times. But, you know, I think that it's sort of human nature to find fun or pleasure in the hardest of times. So it was kind of beautiful to draw that out in people.
We're talking to Anya Strumian, deputy editor in the style section of the New York Times. She edited the project. We're talking about 14 ways we're finding joy in spite of everything. You can join in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Have you found something, maybe a little thing, that brings you joy in your life, despite the bad news out there, the precautions we've been taking? Is there a little something, and maybe it is little, that's made you happy from day to day? Call in at 800-642-1234. Anya, let's check out some of the stories you shared here. This one I love. I'm a regular breakfast eater, but the writer here, Max Reed, isn't. The joy of consuming an obscene number of calories before noon. Can you talk about his joy in breakfast?
Sure. So before this time, he was in the before times, let's say, he was not a big breakfast eater. He said that at most he would have like black coffee, and if he was really hungry, he would add milk. So he talked about how busy his life was before, that, you know, as soon as he got out of bed, life was all about answering emails or pretending to answer emails or, you know, putting off answering emails. And of course, commuting. But now he has all the time in the world. He just kind of responds to his body's needs. And he says what his body needs sometimes is a kimchi grilled cheese before 10 a.m. And, you know, I think we've all definitely been doing a lot more cooking. So he was really luxuriating in that without the commute, we can, you know, go crazy, especially with bacon in his case.
A lot of people, I think, as you say, have turned to food in one way or another. We asked around here at WPR. Chris Deering, our business sponsorship manager, says, since the quarantine began, my kids are home all the time. I've started having them pick out a fancy recipe or meal of their choosing at least once a week. It's been a joy working side by side with my daughters, Chris writes, and teaching them how to chop, mince, measure, sear, saute, bake, and broil their way to a delicious meal. So I love that. Cooking, but not just cooking, cooking with the kids. Is that, have you found, Anya, joy in food in some way?
Yes. First of all, I just always love eating. I'm a very hungry person. But as a New Yorker, I was always going out to eat or ordering delivery. So it's been really nice to return to cooking. And I've mostly my husband cooks, but I've picked up some of the slack because it's too much for one person to handle. And my three-year-old has started like helping out as much as he can, which usually means just playing with ice and water. But it's so sweet. And this time is sort of priceless in that sense. The togetherness is joyous.
Another common joy, and this is one I've enjoyed a lot. You know, I can't go out and do the stuff, say, after work that I usually would. So I just go for a walk, usually in my neighborhood. I see the same thing again and again. Our own Susanna Michaels and our fundraising team has done something similar. She takes the same walk along a lake and through a park. And one of your writers talked about just the sheer joy of circling the block, getting out and walking around the block a few times. Could you share that story?
Yeah, I loved this because it was sort of, I don't know, I found it sort of surprisingly surprising that she circles the block once in the morning, you know, once in the afternoon, once while she's doing phone calls, five times while she's on her therapy call, and then once when work is over. And it's sort of a way to mark the time in the day, but also, of course, to get fresh air, to see her neighbors. I think we've all sort of gotten to know our neighbors a little bit better because in the past we weren't home ever, or we were home a lot less. So observing your neighborhood is sort of this like meditative act. And to her, it was about building community, getting exercise and getting fresh air.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Kent with us in Washburn. Kent, hi.
Hello. Well, on Friday, my wife told me that she'd come across a request for people to play taps at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day. And I hadn't picked up my cornet for decades. But I decided on Saturday I'd give it a try, and I couldn't even find the notes. I literally could not get it to produce the notes that I wanted it to produce. But I thought I'll give it a try again on Sunday, and it was a little bit better. So I decided to do it. And we live in the woods up on a big hill looking over a valley, and so at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day afternoon, I stepped out onto the deck and aimed it out over the valley and played taps. And it went. It worked. And
good for you.
It was a meaningful way to be a part of Memorial Day. It turned out to be a really good thing.
I love that story, Kat, but I got to ask, now that you're getting your lip back, are you going to keep it up?
Well, I'm planning to try it again today.
Fantastic. Kent, good luck. And that's a brass instrument. You got to keep plugging away. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know, I do a lot of my own music here, maybe more than I usually do. I play saxophone and piano and drums in decreasing orders of goodness there. Have you, Anya, seen either from your contributors or for other people you know, them turning to their old ways of being creative, musically or otherwise?
Huh. Nothing is coming to me right now. I'm trying to listen to more music just to kind of escape the news once in a while.
Fair.
Just as a matter of survival. But no, I think, well, you know what, actually, people are doing a lot of writing because I am getting a lot of submissions and a lot of pitches. And while I really appreciate them, it's really hard to keep up with. Everyone is finally ready to write either their, you know, personal essay or the next great American novel. So it seems that people are writing a lot.
Fantastic. Thanks for that call. We're talking to Anya Stremian, a deputy editor at the New York Times Style section. We're talking about a piece she edited called 14 Ways We're Finding Joy in Spite of Everything. You can find that at nytimes.com/joy. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a little something that's been bringing you joy lately in spite of the bad news out there? Call in at 800-642-1234 and tell us about it. Could be something big, Could be something small. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Anya Stremian with the New York Times. She edited the project 14 Ways We're Finding Joy in Spite of It All. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What are you turning to find joy in your life amidst the bad news lately? We heard from Meg, who wrote on the Ideas Network Facebook page. She wrote, gardening has always been my joy, and that hasn't changed. And our own Melissa Ingalls of Morning Edition says, I can't grow anything worth a darn, but I planted clover seeds in the bare spots in my yard, and they sprouted. They're actually growing. And Anya, one of your contributors, had a story with a similarly, I think, humble growing project. Can you share that one? Onions, I think it was. Scallions.
I was like, are you really? This is your joy right now. But she wrote so beautifully about it. And I realized, you know what? I can't judge. It does indeed sound incredibly peaceful and joyful. This was Jenna Wortham, who hosts a podcast called Still Processing. And she planted, I think she took the scraps of her scallions when she was cooking, put them in a glass of water, and the next day they were sprouting, and she's been eating them, and her greatest joy right now is checking on them daily. Apparently regrowing scallions is a really big thing, I learned via Google.
Fantastic. Yeah, I planted my usual, you know, probably going to fail veggie garden this year, and it gives me a reason to go out in the backyard and look at stuff, and yeah, so it is kind of a fun thing to check in on. Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in New Glarus. Steve, hi.
Hi, how you doing? I wanted to mention, I'm a disabled Vietnam vet. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, and I can't get out and walk a whole lot anymore, but I have a nice house where I can sit up on the second floor and look out my windows, and I have a big fir tree and a big apple tree right outside of my window on the second floor here. I just had a bald eagle fly in here about 5 minutes ago.
And wow.
I get some beautiful, beautiful birds in here, cardinals. The bald eagle is a magnificent bird to see when they get up right by your window. It's just really great to sit here and watch the different kinds of birds. I bought a couple bird books so that I can start identifying them, and there's at least 6 different types of birds that come in here I got it, like I said, a fir tree and an apple tree.
Fantastic.
Right, I can almost touch the branches out my window.
Steve, thank you so much for that call. It is majestic seeing a bald eagle that close. I saw a sandhill crane actually fly over our backyard this morning before I started working. Well, that's quite a great story, just to seeing that nature and coming right to his back door, basically, Anya.
What a great spotting. And it's funny because here in the city, my friends and I have gotten very into bird watching as well, with so much less traffic. The birds in Brooklyn, where I live, are really thriving. So we've been trading spottings and what we see and helping each other identify birds.
That's fantastic.
But nothing as cool as a bald eagle yet.
Steve, thank you so much for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Justin with us now in Kenosha. Justin, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my phone call. This is a really cool topic. I'm a mental health therapist, and I've always tried to do this to have good work-life balance. So honestly, I'm not really doing anything differently. It's just amazing to see someone else taking advantage of this time. I still work out. I still garden. So I'm really happy to see people kind of reconnecting with these good things in life.
Is that something you counsel people on, Justin, as a therapist, to find, again, those little things that we could find moments of joy, even if, you know, we're in a period of our lives, whether as individuals or big picture, that isn't so great overall?
Yeah, I work in a ER, and people are coming in pretty big distress, like in pretty big numbers. And we used to just say, okay, go see a therapist, go see your doc, get some meds, but they can't do it anymore. And a lot of people are drinking really heavily because they can't go to AA. So I'll just kind of talk with them, spend like 5-10 minutes and say like, well, what do you enjoy doing? What kind of feeds you? What kind of brings you happiness? And then they kind of talk with me, and they're like, wow, I really do enjoy this. I enjoy that. And they kind of reconnect with who they really are.
Justin, thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. And Anya, for some reason, that reminds me of one of your contributors who found joy in an unexpected place, an old Nintendo console that I think her husband pulled out of the closet.
Yes. She said that, you know, every night after she put her daughter to bed, she began her crying hour. And one night her husband couldn't take it anymore, so he went into their closet and found her old Nintendo closet and grabbed two glasses of whiskey, and they just sort of went at it, each taking turns playing their favorite games. And she really lost herself in that. It was kind of a throwback to her childhood. And it was just like, as a former user of Nintendo, it's so meditative. I might have to pick one up myself.
We are talking to Anya Stremian with the New York Times. She edited a project called 14 Ways We're Finding Joy in Spite of Everything. Back to your calls and your stories of how you find joy in tough times at 800-642-1234. We've got Mark with us now in Watertown. Mark, hello.
Good afternoon.
What do you want to tell us about, Mark?
Live in Watertown today, but next year we'll be moving to Eureka Springs. It's an artist community in Arkansas, and we were there last week. They've started a citywide group howl at 8 p.m., and it's amazing how far the sound carries, but we've got neighbors in town, and they start howling at exactly 8 p.m. It goes for 1 minute, but it's funny, the conversations, the howl conversations that happen back and forth with people that don't really know each other. After about a minute, it stops. But then all the local dogs are howling, too. So it's a riot.
Now, Mark, I got to ask, did you hear about this first, or did you hear the howling first and have to find the backstory after? Because that would be kind of spooky to hear it without knowing what was going on.
We were there working out in the yard, and at 8 o'clock, I start hearing what sounded like a wolf howl, and then other howls came in from other directions, and my wife asked me, what time is it? And I said, it's 8 o'clock, and she just smiled and said, yeah, we're doing the citywide wolf howl at 8 o'clock.
I love it. Mark, thank you so much for sharing that. Anya, I think that's the story you were thinking you might hear when you started off here.
Yeah, where was Mark when I needed him? That's exactly the story I was looking for. Someone who was doing a primal scream. That sounds like a great exercise.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that one, Mark. Well, I want to share another story. One of our volunteers, Kathy Miner, says, as of yesterday, I've made 100 cloth masks and given away 98 of them. She puts a couple a day in their little free library. People take them. She doesn't know who takes them, and that's the magic. And that reminds me, one of your contributors wrote about the joy of caring for others during this time. Can you share that story?
Yes, this was a poet. Is a poet named Ross Gay, and he wrote a collection of poems and essays called "The Book of Delights." So joy is sort of his specialty, and he wrote about the joy of caring for others. And it began with a friend that he ran into while out on a solitary walk, and she passed him a mask. And then he sort of goes into this whole, beautiful meditation on what it means to care for others and how much joy that brings.
Fantastic. And there was one of our data people says a thing that brings him joy is to update his computer background with the new pictures of his only grandchild who turned one back in February. So whenever you minimize the work, they see the grandkid. Speaking of pictures, I want to hear one more. This is a real little thing that somebody's getting satisfaction from. The joy of deleting many mediocre photos from their phone.
Yes, this was by Katie Weaver. That was another one where I was like, really? This is the joyful exercise. But she talked about deleting mediocre photos from her phone. She likened them to Frankenstein's creature. And she said, you know, we carry it across time and terra. And by deleting the really bad photos on her phone, she was unburdening herself and she felt so much lighter. So I thought that was a funny example of joy.
In our last minute, Anya, can you talk a little more about what you are doing to find joy, whether before this piece or inspired by some of your contributors?
Well, I thought about that a little bit, and there are two ways. One is I have an Apple TV, and when it goes into sleep mode, it shows these really beautiful drone and helicopter shots, sort of aerial shots of landscapes and cities in the normal times. So I've been losing myself in those because that's the only travel I can do now. The other thing that's bringing me joy is sarcasm. It is not normally my favorite form of humor, as my husband can tell you. I don't appreciate it. I just don't like it. But when things were so bad, I found it so fun to pretend that they were so good. So that was very cathartic to me.
There, I'm a fan of sarcasm at all times. But your other example, Anya, reminds me of something that I probably wasn't going to admit. But since you did, so I stumbled across people are doing these videos they take from in front of trains going through, you know, Switzerland or Greece or whatever, and then somebody else puts techno music over them. And I looked, I saw a link, and I thought, oh, that sounds dumb, and I'll look at it for a minute. And I've watched actually probably a few hours at this point over the last couple of weeks. They're amazing and meditative and contemplative, and it's actually a lot of fun.
Sounds kind of exhilarating, too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, super cool scenery that I'll never get to see, probably, because I'm never going to be a train engineer in Greece. Well, that's all the time we have, Anya. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks so much. And I just wanted to say that readers can find this at nytimes.com/joy if they want to read all the different forms of joy.
Fantastic. Anya Stremian is a deputy editor in the style section of the New York Times. We've been talking about that piece, 14 Ways Refining Joy in Spite of Everything. We've also popped a link up at WPR.org/Central Time. If you're going there anyway, you can keep sharing your small joys on the Ideas Network Facebook page. A couple more from our coworkers. Tom Blaine says the joy I've been feeling lately is getting out on my bike and riding through the countryside. Our top boss, Mike Crane, says the same. Lori Skelton, who you hear on Food Friday, says it's warm enough to enjoy a beverage on my porch again. Larry Mueller is enjoying working in the garden with his daughter. Fantastic. Keep sharing yours, Ideas Network Facebook page. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.